Hey, it's Jay Moore, and it is time, finally, for America's Lakers Podcast. That's right, I'm going to be hosting America's Lakers Podcast. My man Aaron Larsoul, an analytical genius, he's going to bring to the table what I can't every Wednesday. America's Lakers Podcast exclusively at PodcastOne.com, the PodcastOne.com app, which I highly recommend. You can rate and review this podcast on all Apple products. And guess what we're not going to do? We're not going to bathe in the gossip and the gratuitous negativity that's been swallowing Los Angeles whole lately. Who did what? Who snitched? Who said what? How about truth? How about facts? How about statistics? How about rotations? What's Luke Walton thinking? Who's underperforming? Who's overachieving? Who's rewarded? Who's coming? Who's going? And what are we going to do with all that delightful, delicious cap space? America's Lakers Podcast with me, Jay Moore, and my man, my brother, Aaron Larsoul, every Wednesday, PodcastOne.com.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, right, Drew?
We do love that.
All right. We got Jimbo to get
to. We promised him, yes.
We promised him. I got a question for you about plastic surgery.
Okay, so we still have to listen to that Bill Maher thing, too. I wanted to hear what that was.
Jimbo? Jimbo?
Yeah, hey, it's Jimbo.
Yeah, hey. What's going on, North Carolina?
Oh, no. Did we lose him? Ooh, oh, Jimbo.
Stuff's not lit up. Well, he'll call.
There you are. Try it again.
Hello?
Yep, we hear you.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
My wife is a doctor. She's in her first year of residency right now. And basically, I guess what I'm...
Jimbo? Oh, dude.
Hey, it's falling off on our end, is it? Which is weird. All right, shout out your question, Jimbo.
Real quick. Yeah, because we keep dropping off. Go ahead.
My wife is a doctor.
Yeah.
Should I go to law school? Is that going to drive everybody crazy?
No. I mean, what do you mean? Would that drive her crazy?
Yeah, I mean, she's already got crazy hours in residency. It's kind of something that I want to do. It's not like I have to do it, but...
Do you have kids?
No kids.
Yeah, then now's the time. But what's her training in? What's she training in now?
She's going to do orthopedics.
All right, so you're not going to see her for about 5 years, so you might as well go to law school. Why not?
Yeah, go ahead, Jimbo. And then...
Yeah, she's going to be gone for a while. I mean, this does not get slower.
Thank you, Jimbo. Speaking of... Line was a little funky, so yeah. Keep it short. So speaking of this, Drew.
Yeah.
I heard somebody... You know, I'm always trying to sort out the health care, Medicare, Obamacare, what are we doing, blah, blah, blah. And phone lines are a little funky. And I don't have real strong opinions other than I don't like the government providing everything because I think it just turns to shit.
Yeah.
And I want people to be involved with their own health care. Mm-hmm. And I certainly don't sign off on the everyone has the right to world-class health care, just like I don't every kid has a right to world-class education. Like, no, it's, you got to save for that. Or fine, you got to work for that. Whatever. That's the way I generally feel. But I heard a guy say, you take a look at something like plastic surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Plastic surgery has come a long way
in
the last 20 years, and prices have calmed down quite a bit. In the last, I know when you like to say little. Prices have come down, please let me finish before.
Okay.
They've come down quite a bit, a little bit,
okay.
Quite a bit in the last 10 years, 15 years as well. Stuff used to be, I'll put it to you this way. Plastic surgery was for the Hollywood elite, you know, back in the day. And now regular folks, you know, school teachers can get a nose job or breast augmentation or whatever it is. It's not paid for by insurance. You got to pay for it yourself. And thus, there's an open, competitive kind of market out there where people are kind of going, we don't just get paid by the insurance company. We right. have to be competitive
well, they,
and attractive
no,
or
they,
whatever.
They, for some reason, the society decided that we'll pay up for that, no problem. And the prices were insane. And some of it was scarcity. Now we've trained so many plastic surgeons that there is competition.
But
that's
there's
why
no,
there's competition now.
Wait a minute. There is competition, but also insurance doesn't pay for it.
Never paid for it.
That's what I'm saying.
But the prices were still insane initially. They were insane.
Right. Right. But yeah. So obviously it's twofold then. It's the competition and the fact that you don't get locked in. You got to go out
lack
there.
Lack of scarcity. It's not so scarce anymore and there's competition. Right.
Right.
The reason I said, well, a little bit is because now they have injectables and stuff, which are so ridiculously easy and they charge a fortune to have a little injection into you. And it's like, come on.
So,
but okay.
How does that apply to other medical procedures? I mean,
everything else is controlled.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Is there too much control?
Let's put it this way. For me, I could spend all night in an ICU saving somebody's life. I could spend all night in the ICU saving someone's life. And if you took one four-hour plastic procedure and compared that the price of me staying up all night saving a life versus one four-hour plastic surgery, it's about 1,000 times different. Not twice different, not 20 times different, about 1,000 times different.
So why is it so expensive then to go to a hospital?
Because it's not – that's the hospital. That's not the doctor part.
Well, that's what I'm not talking about you per se. I'm just saying like in general – how do you get the prices down? I mean, look.
Everyone's controlled.
Well, look, here.
The hospital still gets tons of money.
I don't like. Here's what I'm saying. When you got car insurance, you get a dent in your fender, you take it to the auto body place, and they know the insurance is paying for it, they just give you one price. You know, they go $2,000. You go, hey, I'm paying cash. I'm paying my own money. No insurance. They give you another price. That's what it says to me. Like the insurance. There's an insurance price, and then there's what they could do it for if they weren't getting
but the insurance for intellectual procedures, non-surgical procedures, is so depressed. It's ridiculous.
So what's the answer?
I don't have an answer. I really don't. It's all very – I think there ought to be maybe two tiers in the system maybe. Maybe a thing that's totally controlled and totally public and maybe another one that – relies a little more on market forces where we have our own little savings accounts that we then use on our own to determine prices with a particular physician or a particular hospital.
Also seems to me like when I took my kid to Children's Hospital, they had a lot of stuff that you could apply for, you know, low income this
everything.
And low income
oh, yeah,
that.
Tons. Yeah.
This whole thing of like these poor people are dying in the street
no, that does
because
not happen.
They don't get attention.
That does not happen. It never did.
I know it never did. Because I used to be poor, and that's why I used to go throw myself to county and just take whatever. Like, it's a weird argument that everyone, they make it based on I don't know what. You know what I mean? Like, it's not based on any numbers or anything. Like, nobody says, I had an Aunt Bernice, she fell on a piece of rebar, was sticking out of her ribs, nobody would talk. You know, she didn't have insurance, so she bled out in the street.
Nope, never happened here.
Why is this frequent scenario for a lot of people like trying to make an argument? Drew's doing good pot, shaking his head.
I just don't know. There is certainly the case that people can develop, can get a lot of debt going. You know, the medical system can incur a lot of expense.
You want to know what the most expense I've ever seen created? College. No one seems to have a beef with that. Like the same people that are arguing about this. Never don't care about everyone leaving owing $125,000 to their college and being 22.
It's true.
Why not outraged over that? The price of college.
Yeah.
We should be outraged, right?
Well, Bernie is.
Bernie wants everything to be free. Ben, 31, New York.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, man.
Hey, how's it going?
Mm-hmm. What's going on?
Yeah, so I was listening to some Steely Dan, and I was wondering what your favorite Steely Dan song was.
The Fez.
Oh, it's a great one.
Which one is that, Gary?
Gary's got to look up The Fez by Steely Dan. The Steely Dan is a great band, and it makes me angry at Frank Zappa and Lou Reed and all those idiots. Were we just talking about them last week?
Yeah.
And I just like this wet turnip.
song.
What non-musician knows more about music than the Ace Man?
I don't know. You certainly do a lot of schooling on our road trips.
Yeah. Oh, you poor man.
Educating the boy. They're so good.
It's the only time I don't mind getting transported back to the 70s by music. Strangely.
Yeah.
Everything else bothers me.
Bring it down. Go look up Peg. Gary, I'm going to go Fez. I'm going Peg. But I like to get off the beaten path a little bit. So I went with the Fez because nobody ever listens to
this one everyone's heard. Yeah.
Yeah, everyone knows this song. But this song is great because of Michael McDonald's vocals and harmony in it. We just got to wait until Michael McDonald jumps in and the Doobie Brother jumps sound in the background. Yeah. Ben, what are your favorite Steely Dan songs?
I got to go Peg, too. I like King off the first album.
Mm-hmm.
Not Richard Nixon. Good song. Home at Last is really good.
You're 31. Why are you into Steely Dan?
My dad got me into it when I was a kid. Yeah, it's had a kind all the of, records. And,
it's a parent's duty to get their kid into good music.
Everyone I know who likes Steely Dan that's my age, it's because of their parents.
Makes
right.
sense.
Yeah. Otherwise, you'll end up like Bald Brian. In Excess and Brian Adams. This is two musical influence. All right, turn it up. Now, here's my argument, and I've been making this in life about everything from music to the Dodger dog. Mm-hmm. You may like the Dodger dog. That makes you a fucking retard. That doesn't mean it's a good dog. That means you're a fucking retard. And you may like In Excess more than this. That means you have bad taste in music. It's not he said, she said. Yes. You're wrong. You have a poor taste in music. Something happened along the way. And
did you say Kimmel likes dog playing poker on felt? Is that something he likes?
he likes Huey Lewis, but that's more of a homoerotic thing. I got to give him a pass on that. And I like Huey, too. He's such a sweetheart. Ben, any other great bands you enjoy?
I just wanted to thank you for getting me into John Hiatt.
Yeah, he's good.
I saw him in concert last year. It was a great show.
Can't go wrong with lyrics matter. You may say absolutely. Black Lives Matter. I say lyrics matter, everybody. Please stop ignoring the lyrics. Thanks, Ben. Appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you, guys.
Hey, mm-hmm. Thanks,
have you ever,
Ben.
Have you ever seen Steely Dan live?
No.
Take him.
Here at the site.
I'd like to do that, yes.
I want to talk to Tyler. I'm very intrigued. May I?
Yeah, where's Tyler? Line four. I don't even know what his question is.
It's about Suboxone success. I need to hear more success stories. Mm. So good.
Go ahead.
Tyler?
Hello?
Hey.
Go ahead.
Hey, Drewski, Ace Man, what's going on?
What's going on, man?
Nah, not much, dude. I'm a huge fan. I've been listening to y'all for years. I listen to you every single day.
Oops. Yeah, thanks.
You're two of my most favorite people in the world, and you're freaking radio podcast god. But
love you, Tyler. Now, what's
nothing else that can follow that will upset
no?
us.
Go ahead.
Well, basically, for Drew and you, Adam, I have I know Drew's stance on Suboxone and those types of treatments as well as methadone, but I have kind of a success story from being on it for 6 years.
Oof.
And going to long-term treatment that was no detox. It was a milieu therapy setup. So
what
there was,
therapy?
I went to
it's a milieu. Interpersonal. Social.
Milieu.
Social.
Treatment. Like milieu? Like
like it's supposed to be. That's good treatment.
Is that like
treatment.
The word milieu?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. And It was really hard. It's one of the most hardcore treatment things in North Carolina.
Cool.
And I did it, and it was very difficult. I did go to detox for a few days before I went, but it still was like...
All right, so Tyler, you had proper treatment, and you're a success. How do you look back on now in those 6 years on Suboxone?
Well, here's the thing. My older brother is currently doing methadone treatment, and it's tough with me because I know how hard it is, and I did it, and it's very difficult, and it hasn't been easy since then, even since I've got out of treatment. I relocated after I got out, and things have gone very well. And Adam, I've been in the construction world, unfortunately, because of my choices, but I'm an electrician, and it's still hard. I lost a lot of opportunities by going this route with my life, but at the same time, I've gained a lot of knowledge by doing what I did. And I basically just wanted to tell you guys how much you mean to me and how much you've helped me realize a bunch of different things. And I made a lot of decisions to do better, not just because of you, but, I mean, for myself. And it's just been great. I just kind of had a hard time thinking of a question, but I really wanted to call and tell you that.
Well, thanks, Tyler. We appreciate it, Tyler. You could help me. How do you look at those 6 years on Suboxone now? Are you resentful that you were on that? Do you feel that it saved your life and let you get in a position where you could be treated? How do you look upon that now?
I absolutely look at it as a waste of time.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, in a sense, I was a lot more immature when I started that process. So, I'm 27 now, so when I started, I was in my early 20s.
Stop.
And
the argument is that it would save your life, so you could one day get treated. And I'm not sure that argument is true, but go ahead.
No, it absolutely kept me one leg in, one leg out.
Yeah.
I was still,
That's it. That's
thanks, Tyler.
Thanks, Tyler, man.
Drew, you always say no free lunches. This thing where it's like, I'm hooked on this pill, and then you go, well, look. We can either just sort of work it out of you through just sort of old-fashioned whatever with some other medication and some in-house whatever, and you go this way, or we'll just give you this other pill,
right,
and that'll fix the cravings for this pill.
Yeah.
It seems pretty flawed to me.
The medical system has approached addiction like that, in that manner, since 1890, and it's flawed on flawed after disaster after flaw, and we just don't seem to learn. We just don't seem to learn.
Well, it's like I sat here and I talked to Vinnie Tortorich about, we're talking about Ralphie May, and we're talking about having the stomach surgery and the gastric bypass. And he's like, no, why? And it's like, because then you can't eat, but you're not getting the nutrients you need. And it's like the deal, I see these ads where it's like, hey, eat all you want, never get fat. Like there is no such thing as that.
Right.
And if there was, you shouldn't wish for it.
Okay.
Have you ever seen a movie where that turned out just great?
Yeah.
Where the guy got everything he wanted and never had to pay any kind of consequence for it?
Right.
It doesn't work. It's like
for humans. Yeah.
I don't know if it works in the reptile world. I don't think it works for anything or anyone at any time. Doesn't work.
I wanted to do – I always thought of a fantasy would be to do a film about somebody that – could be a brain in the vat, and they have the life they wanted as a brain in the vat, and they sign up for it, and some master scientist...
Your brain is in a vat.
And some master scientist could give you the life, any life you want as the brain in the vat.
The brain in the vat, and that
it's a Matrix kind of thing, right?
Yeah, that would be the... That would be a synthesized life. I mean, your brain would experience the sex winning the Super Bowl.
That's my point. If you then could go into the Matrix with that person, what would that life look like? It'd be like people be violence and sex and Super Bowls and shitting of it. It'd be crazy,
right?
It would deteriorate. It would just keep getting worse and worse and worse. It would not be a life worth living, right?
Yeah, I mean, let's break it down. I got a thought. I got a very strong thought.
After LifeLock,
Equifax breach just got bigger. They've added 2.5 million people to the list, and Yahoo's 2013 breach impacted 3 billion.
Ugh.
That's a couple of few more than a million accounts. By the way, three times the estimate. Thieves. They buy your info on the dark web. They use it to open new accounts, commit crimes, even steal from your 401k. Now it's time you got some protection with LifeLock. Yep, I got it. You should get it. Drew has it. The kids have it. The wife has it. Everyone needs a LifeLock. It's the cost of doing business. It's just a couple bucks a month. It's a little something called peace of mind. Their proprietary technology detects a wide range of identity threats and will alert you if your info is being used out there. They're LifeLock. Drew.
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions on all businesses, but LifeLock can help you see more than if you're just monitoring your credit. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK. Go use the promo code Adam, that is Adam, for 10% off your LifeLock Ultimate membership. Visit LifeLock.com and save 10% now. Use that promo code Adam.
Drew, you ever have these sorts of thoughts? For instance, you're going to sing the national anthem at the Kings game.
Okay.
And you're a few days out, you're a little bit nervous, you're working with the organist, working with your coach a little bit.
Dieter. The organist, Dieter.
You're working on that, you're thinking about it, you're a little up in your head, there's a technical side of you, there's an emotional side of you. And then what if somebody said to you, hey, listen, man, I guarantee you're going to hit a home run here. I guarantee it. And I will guarantee it. And I will make it be. I will make it be that what's going to happen on Thursday night, it's not going to be a B+ or even a B. It'll be an A+. It'll be a 10 out of 10. And you can stop thinking about it right now.
Yeah.
Don't rehearse. Don't practice. Yeah. Don't do anything. Just show up and it'll be a 10. And you said, okay. Okay, yeah, I'll take that. And by the way, you're not going to get drunk and tell people this happened or anything. No, that's right. Just that you'll be the only person who knows it. Well, then you'd go out there and you'd put out a 10 and people would applause and your wife would be going nuts and your kids would be appreciative and everyone would be slapping you on the back. And you'd have a feeling of happiness, but also just underneath it, a little dissatisfaction. But it wouldn't be, oh, I'm going to kill myself. It'd just be like, I know that wasn't mine.
Yeah.
But okay. But look, everyone, there's 18,000 people here who think it is, so that feels pretty good, and I'll take it.
Yeah.
And that would be fine, and you'd probably go home, and you'd probably have some mixed feelings about it, but all in all, your wife would pop in and go, that was wonderful. You were excellent. I don't know what got into you. You were inspiring. Everyone was talking about it, and you'd probably be a little dismissive, like, yeah, okay, fine. You're trying to change the subject and stuff like that. But you'd take it. Mm-hmm. I think after about three of those, you'd kill yourself. I don't even know if you'd do the second one.
You just wouldn't do them. Yeah, you just stop doing
them. Yeah, but you wouldn't do it. Many people would do the next one, but they go, but it's got to be bigger.
Oh.
What if you knew, okay, standing ovation.
Yeah.
Long with tears pouring down people's eyes. How about that? And then how about, you know.
And it goes under, I'd sure like to see what that feels like to be the object of that, you know, right?
Yeah, I don't know what
even
it is.
Because that's the only reason you would want to do it, because you don't own it. It's not yours. So who the hell cares?
It's just not a good – it's something to – it's a modality to be in when you're a child. But at a certain point, if you thought you weren't connected to that, then it would be brutal. But I'm just saying, I think most people would take that deal, and most people would take it the second and the third time. And then eventually – you would kind of lose your ability to rehearse or work, or you'd be floating a little bit.
Well, speaking of floating, the brain in the vat story, right? The thing that it was just sort of suggesting that you could, it's a thought experiment. You're a brain in a vat. Somebody has infinity powers and can just dial in the perfect life. Well, you're really a brain in the vat, but you don't know it. And whatever it means to have the perfect life, this infinite technology can do anything and everything at all times. Mm-hmm. Except there's one thing about being a brain in the vat that has it, that when I ask people about it, most people won't sign up to be the brain in the vat. And that is that you don't exist.
Right.
You don't exist to other people. You just think you exist. And so our existence to other people and our ability to contribute in the world for real is so important that we would forego the perfect experience.
Right.
Which is interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm just the more, you know, you always say no free lunches in nature, and the more I just sort of think about it, it's just all roads sort of lead to leather upholstery. Just like, there's pretty much one way to have a really nice interior of the car, and that's like an old world craftsman, like cutting with scissors and sewing by hand. And there is no like synthesized, right, quickie, boom, we got a beautiful leather interior. No, it's like, it's got to be stitched, and the person has to know what they're doing. They have to have that skill. And there's just, there's, you know, the craziest thing, I watch all these car shows, and every car show is the exact same. Like, we're redoing the outside of the car, and then we're going to pull a whole new. And the interior is just one old dude. One, he's got this sewing machine. He's operating with his foot, and he's just doing, like, a couple inches at a time, like a little salvo, little burst, you know, and he's readjusting. And he's got the scissors out. I mean, he's doing it the way guys made saddles 700 years ago. He's doing, I mean, he's got the electric machine, but he's doing exactly everything the same. And that's it. That's the only way to have a beautiful custom leather interior. That's it. And that's the way it should be. And it's never going
to
change.
So all roads lead to leather interiors.
They all lead roads to a leather interior. Okay, so just, but don't try to hide from it. Learn how to sew.
Or
get to work.
Nah, or get a good job so you know and get to know the guy that does it.
Be able to pay him.
Yeah.
Paul, 42, Porterville.
Hey, Adam. Hey, Drew. How you guys doing today?
Good. How you doing?
I'm good. Thanks. Hey, I called because I guess, like, I don't know if it'd be like an addiction, but like I ate a lot of fast food and just trying to like stop, and I wouldn't know where to begin to start doing that. What do you guys
think? Why fast food? Is it something about the route you take during the day that's just in, you know, you drive past it, or is it your place of work or something?
No, not really. Like today, like I was going to a meeting, and I stopped by Mickey D's. I picked up something. We got loose about 12 o'clock. Stopped by Popeye's. Picked up some more food and was like, geez, man.
Well, look, like, you know, Paul, here's the thing with this. It's either on or it's not on. I feel like, I'd like to really break this down, but I really feel like the people that eat fast food once a week eat fast food 19 times a week, and the people that don't eat fast food once a week go 3 years without eating any fast food.
Right.
Like, it's just...
You have to break the habit.
You're sort of in or you're out. It's kind of tough to say, I dabble in fast food. Yeah. It's just, it's a kind of thing that you have to treat like being a member of ISIS. Like, you're either in or you're out, and I'm just out.
But we know he can drive his car to a destination, get out of a car, and purchase something, right? We know he has that ability.
Right.
It's just that now he needs to drive to Whole Foods, buy a bag of carrots and some string cheese, and just you have to force yourself to go buy something different.
I got to tell you, the carrots are a tough nut. I will tell you this, because I always talk to Vinny Tortorich about this stuff. You can go to... I do this myself. You can go to Trader Joe's. You can buy packages of all kinds of Italian meats and all kinds of provolone cheeses and all kinds of stuff like that.
Turkey. There's a turkey they have there.
And just have that protein and that grease there just to tamp out the fire. Like, literally have those cheddar cheese sticks or something. Throw a few in your car. Now, I'm not going to be one of these things where, like, have some unroasted almonds and jicama. Like, you know, that's not speaking to the part of your brain that needs to be spoken to. You just need that little greasy, fatty, little sort of salami thing with that little piece of cheese, a little fatty, cheesy thing in there, just to, like, just knock it down and keep driving. Because you just can't do it, Paul. Like, it can't be part of the curriculum.
Right.
You're 42 now. You gotta look out for this stuff. And there is no healthy version of this. There's just...
I mean, they have salads at these places, but you're not going to buy that.
You're not going to buy the salad.
Oh, my God. They're terrible, though.
They're terrible. And the salad, as soon as you put the salad
dressing
on... The dressing
is 1,000 calories.
Right. Anyway. Don't, Paul. Just go. I am telling you, I literally just got done doing this. I sent a guy on a run at the other shop. Just keep those avocados. Keep the you can go to Trader Joe's, get a whole bag of just hard-boiled eggs. Just keep that stuff on hand.
Egg is a great way to deal with this. Hard-boiled eggs.
Yeah.
They're pre-peeled. They have pre-peeled in bags. Just,
yeah.
They last forever, too.
I know. I had six of them in there. They were sitting in the fridge for a week. Just went and nabbed them. Look, here's the thing. Nothing's going to take the place of a double bacon Western burger. you're looking for something in between that and the carrot, and I'm telling you, go get the prefab salami and the turkey and the cheese and all that.
It's good.
And get a little mustard or whatever and just sort of roll it up and dunk it in. It'll put the flame out. It'll take the edge off. All right. Speaking of the edge, let's say you need a new employee. Mm. ZipRecruiter, great talent for your business. But let's just say you're short on time. You don't get lost in a stack of resumes. You can find your perfect hire at ZipRecruiter. You got to get smart. You need the best tool, ZipRecruiter. Post your job to 100-plus job boards with just one click. It's smart. It's matching technology. It actively notifies qualified candidates about your job in minutes, so you get the best matches. Imagine, man, back in the day, remember walking around, filling out applications at the supermarket, then going across the street to the liquor store.
Imagine.
I remember this one, too. Are you guys hiring? No. What if I just filled out I'll just fill this out, and then I'll just leave it here. Yeah, all right. Yeah, we'll call you if something opens up. Like, I don't think that's ever happened in the history of jobs.
Yeah.
So, unlike other hiring sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on the right candidates finding you. It finds them. 80% of employees who post on ZipRecruiter get quality candidates through the site in just one day. ZipRecruiter. Smartest way to hire at ZipRecruiter, Drew.
Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by growing businesses of all sizes and industries to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. And right now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/ADS and you can post for free. This is ridiculous. Why wouldn't you do it? That is ZipRecruiter.com/ADS for free. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/ADS.
All right. Me doing a live podcast with the team, Oxnard Levity Live. That'll be on the 12th of November. And then the 21st, Pasadena Ice House. I think Drew's going to be up on stage for that one as well. You can go to AdamCarolla.com, find out all you need to know about everything. Wednesday, November 29th, Brooklyn, New York, King's Theater. Me and the great Dennis Prager, Chassis.com, and all that stuff. Drew?
DrDrew.com for all the pods.
So until next time, Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.